All right. Good morning, everyone. Welcome. Welcome back. It's FBC Radio Live. It's Tuesday. It's our first day of the week on here. We had a nice little long weekend. Mike, he had the unveiling of his statue yesterday, and it was just, it was an appointment he just could not miss because, well, you know, hey, he's the center of attention, so he has to be there. So he is back today, though, so we're happy to have him back. We're happy to be back on the air. So, Mike, how are we doing today?
Doing well, my friend. Walking back into the studio like Eric Bischoff after a long layover, after a long hiatus, coming back in and back in better than ever, buddy. Kicking off the week and looking forward to it.
Yeah, you know, I kind of wish I had the back in black queued up right there. But hey, since we do a very minimal amount of planning ahead of these shows, sometimes it's kind of tough to be that much on the same page, but close. We got a lot of stuff going on this week. First, I don't want to forget, so a reminder everyone out there, you wrestling fans out there, we have Trivamania episode number 4 coming out on Friday. So tune in on Sportscaster, obviously, to join in all the fun. Chris Rucker, our host of the FPC Cowboys podcast, and of course one of the co-hosts of Boot to the Face, is a 3-time reigning champion. I mean, this is some legendary stuff to start off the Trivamania craze, which I think is growing and growing. So certainly, folks, we're actually going to have a link out to the show today. I should have actually done this a couple days ago, so my bad, but I will get a link out so you can join in and send your questions in on what will be the broadcast screen. So definitely keep an eye out for that. We'll tweet it from the FPC underscore wrestling Twitter account, and of course I'm sure the folks over at underscore Talkamania on Twitter will do that as well. Of course, when it pertains to this show, you can give us a call if you want to text us. It is 626-310-8882. Call, text, give us your thoughts. We're going to talk some football today. Obviously, some news out of the nation's capital. News, of course, as there always is, out of New England, since we have been on the air. And, of course, in Tennessee, it has come out that Derrick Henry is very unlikely to sign a long-term deal before the deadline, so it looks like he will be playing on the franchise tag. So, whew, Mike, I gotta take a breath.
Yeah,
I just talked absolutely. A lot. Yeah. Well, I stammer on sometimes. Yeah.
No, action-packed weekend. A lot of stuff going on. You mentioned Derrick Henry. That is a significant development, folks. If you're an NFL fan, right now, arguably, Derrick Henry is the most prolific runner in the National Football League. I know a lot of people will make arguments about some of their favorite runners on their teams, and there are a lot of great running backs. We're seeing a resurgence of the use in running backs, and I actually think you're going to see a lot more of that this year than you ever have before. That's not a knock to the quarterbacks in the league. I just think that the way the league is going to be predicated this year, especially with some time possibly being missed due to COVID, my enthusiasm, I guess is the best way for me to put it, is waning a little bit, folks. I'm starting to wonder whether or not my percentage is going down when it comes to a full uninterrupted season. Now, I think we will see a full slate of 16 games, but I'm wondering if maybe they're going to be working a break into it. I don't know if maybe there's going to be a postponement to the season. Again, folks, this is pure speculation. I'm not reporting anything about what I'm hearing, rumblings or anything like that. But the rumblings that I am hearing lead me to believe on the table. And you usually don't hear things like this when there's nothing to report. So take that for what you will. But other than that, I mean, getting back to Henry, that is a significant development. It'll be interesting to see if it just means that they need more time to negotiate a long-term deal. You know, don't forget, I know he's not allowed to sign a long-term deal until after the regular season is complete and after he's able to finish off 2020. But we all know that back channel negotiations go on in this business. It's just the way it happens. So maybe they just need a little bit more time and he's content to do that. If that is the case, then much ado about nothing. But if he's in any way wavering on whether or not he's going to come back to Tennessee, that could open up the trade market, and that could make for some very interesting negotiations around the league. So keep a sharp eye on that. As I always like to say, I think that's going to be a very, very interesting development. Probably the biggest news, as my buddy so eloquently alluded to, was the Washington football team and their long
Well,
overdue decision to reorg.
before we get into that, I do want to say, because a reminder to folks out there that are obviously don't follow the Titans, they decided to pay Ryan Tannehill, and I'm gonna pat myself on the back. This is something I suggested back in probably December, November, way long time ago. And it had nothing to do with Derrick Henry. Obviously, I'm not suggesting they choose one over the other. I just thought, hey, Tennessee was in a position where they can get a couple good seasons out of Ryan Tannehill. I felt so, you give them that 3 to 4 year deal that kind of bridges the gap to whoever the next guy will be. Well, that's kind of what the Titans have done, but again, they don't seem, perhaps they don't seem as keen on re-signing Derrick Henry to a long-term deal, especially when they can tag him, get him to play under the tag, and then evaluate after this year. Because again, we know how, with a lot of running backs, I'm not saying all, their shelf life is
Yeah, the
short.
show, absolutely.
So there is some risk involved in signing a running back long-term. Now, again, that is different from the perhaps maybe moral obligation to pay a player what he is worth for what he has done. But again, these NFL teams aren't run on moral obligations or anything like that. So does he deserve a long-term deal? Absolutely. Is it good business for the Titans? I don't know. Especially for the amount of money that he'd likely command for that long-term deal. So yeah, we'll see how it turns out. It seems like to me the Titans want to just let it play out, see what happens this year, and if he's gone, he's gone. If not, they'll revisit it after the season, especially with all the uncertainty going on. So
Yeah, that is such a good point, and I'm glad that you made that about the dichotomy between signing Ryan Tannehill long term, locking him up, and then all of a sudden having a situation where Derrick Henry now may be on the outside looking in. Running backs do have short shelf lives. I mean, you hit the nail right on the head when you said that. Drink up, everyone. And that really is it's a big time factor. It
this is
really
vodka,
is
folks.
when you talk about. He ain't lying, folks. But in any case, no. All kidding aside, we don't encourage drinking at what is it, 9:15 in the morning or whatever it is here.
Five
But
o'clock
in any
somewhere.
case, it is 5 o'clock somewhere. That
That's
is
right.
true. You are very true on that. But in any case, when it comes to someone like Derrick Henry, obviously he had a tremendous year. One of those power type backs that just can, he can change the dimension of a way a team is able to play offense, but there is risk in signing running backs to long-term deals, and unfortunately, it's the nature of the position. And it's hard to imagine that you'd want to let a guy like that walk away, but Tennessee obviously is taking a wait and see approach, and we'll see if it works out for them, pun intended there. It's to me it's a risk, but at the same time I think you make the argument that it's a risk worth taking, considering the position, considering the way he plays the position as well, and what needs to happen in terms of solidifying longevity. So again, this could make for some interesting storylines this year. We saw a lot of players last year dominate up to the trade deadline line and whether or not players would be on the move. Stephon Diggs was a very prominent trade target for a number of weeks leading up to the trade deadline last year. You have to wonder if Derrick Henry's going to follow suit. If you start to hear rumblings out of Tennessee, out of Henry's camp, that one side is disgruntled, the other side can't come to an agreement. We know these leaks are coming. It's a matter of where they come from and how much stock you put into the. So, again, we'll continue to monitor it as we always do, and we'll bring you the latest right here on FPC Radio Live.
Yeah, man, there you go. Nice plug. Self plug. Little self pop. Cheap pop, if you will.
Absolutely, cheap pop. Yep.
But anyways, yeah, and as you started to mention before, obviously news came out. Was it official yesterday? Again, I'm completely spacing right now, so I apologize. But
Yeah,
Washington
Washington made,
announced,
yeah,
yeah.
they made it official yesterday that they were going to retire the logo and the name of their franchise. But no decision has been made as to what the new logo, the new
Yeah.
name will be,
Well,
or even the new colors. I mean, we're hearing that maroon and gold and white are still going to remain, but
yeah.
we don't know that for sure. So still
Well,
up in the air at this point.
we're gonna try to get one of our guys on tomorrow, hopefully to talk more about this. But of course, you know, this is for now the logo and the name is still in place. Obviously, there's a process that is it has to you know, be put in place to figure out, you know, excuse me, which name you can use or which name you're going to use, how the logo is going to be. Apparently, both Dan Snyder and Ron Rivera are going to have a hand in how that's going to be designed and whatnot. And I wish I could confirm this. I thought I saw this on Twitter, so hopefully I'm not just making things up here. If not, we'll just forget about it and never bring it up again. But I saw someone mention that there was someone out there who copyrighted or filed copyright claims for all these names that have been thrown out there the last, what, week, 2 weeks or so. I mean, I think they'd prefer to have one of these names that have come out in you know, the recent weeks. I mean, I think there's some really, really good ones in there, like the Red Tails. I think was a nice one. And then, of course, there's other variations out there. But you know, someone had the foresight to go out there and file these claims because, as we know, you know, it's great to come up with a name, but there's some legal trademark and copyright issues that go along with all this, and usually that process takes quite a long time. And this is something obviously that the team wants to have done prior to the start of the season, which you know is scheduled to start in a couple months. So good for the person if this is true that did this. It's like folks out there that go and you know buy up websites that get expire that expire. And you know what? If it's a big company, you know they're going to open up the checkbook. They're going to give you a nice little payday for the rights to that. And I'm guessing that's what this person is doing to finagle some sort of payday out of this. So again, good for him. That's initiative right there. That's taking advantage of a situation and just, you know, looking ahead. Because you know what?
Yeah, I mean, it really is. I mean, and you look at the trademarks that were out there, and again, I don't know if it's been confirmed, but I think it's pretty close to being confirmed that this is indeed the case. And you look at the list on there; you can see it on social media, folks. I can't really pinpoint which account I found it from or where it originated from, so I can't give credit. But if you look on social media, you'll definitely see, you know, especially on Twitter, you'll definitely see the still shot out there. The Red Tails is on there as well. I think the Warriors is on there, the Renegades, things of that nature. So this will be interesting to see what they're able to bring. I think the Red Wolves or the Red Fox or something. I think there are a lot of
I saw Red Wolves out there.
Yeah, I think Red Wolves I think is a I think is one of the leaders in the clubhouse. Figure of speech there, folks, but I think it's one of those out there. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. I think we can both agree that this was long overdue. This name had been too derisive and too just. It just had no place in society. And, you know, anytime, you know, you can make the argument. I've seen people still making the argument that, oh, well, this one didn't find it offensive, so it wasn't offensive. No, this was derisive, folks. It undermined the ability of the team to reach a broader spectrum of fan base. It only hammered home the points of society that we're trying to expunge, which is division, which is, you know, racial inequality, which is hate. And those things have no place in society. If anything is present that is going to contribute to that, it simply needs to go. I mean, and that's, you know, that's a conversation for another day. And I don't want to open up a whole can of worms here this morning on that, because you could keep going on and on and on about, okay, well, where do you stop? Where do you draw the line? Deface of, you know, property and all that. That's a conversation that has its place in society and should be, you know, on an hour-long morning sports show. We're not going to bore you with that. But when it does come to, you know, the nature of this type of this type of a logo,
okay?
This type of a team mascot. Oh yeah, good.
Okay, good, good, good.
But this type of a logo, this type of a yes, oh god. But no, in any case, that type of logo, that type of a mascot, that type of a team name, it had more It had so much more negative than it had positive attached to it, and it allows this franchise to move forward in a new in a new way, in a better way. So, kudos to Washington. I had my doubts about whether or not they would actually be able to do it or actually be willing to do it. I don't give Dan Snyder credit for much, but I will give him credit for whether he
Folding to his
was
sponsors.
forced into it. Yeah, whether he was forced into it, whether he was, kind of cowering to, like you said, the almighty sponsor. I
Yeah.
mean, the choice ultimately was still his. I mean, if he
Yeah.
were extremely pigheaded, he could have dug his nails in and says, look, I'll just go out and find new sponsors. We've seen owners do that before, and we've seen people do that before. I think he realized his bottom line, and he realized this was the best for his brand. And, hopefully this is a brand that a lot of people can get behind, because that's a proud franchise. It's a very good franchise. And I think a franchise on the upward swing, when it comes to the action that you see on the field. Washington doesn't always get a lot of credit for the product they put out on the field because of the teams that they've had recently. But you look at it, and they've been in the mix for the playoffs more often than not, very quietly, but they're always there. They have a star-raving fan base, a very loyal fan base, and it's a great town. Washington is a great sports town that a lot of people don't realize is a great sports town, and it is. So good job for them. And, I'm looking forward to seeing what the new chapter is.
Funny story. I actually, excuse me, the first time I ever parallel parked in my life, I attempted, done at all. Like I didn't do it before my driving test. I didn't do it. I didn't do it during my practicing for my driving test or during it. I didn't have to do it. It was just never a thing. So, I was driving down to Florida. I was probably, I don't know, 19, 20 years old, young buck, young kid. And I was driving with my buddy, and he drove one of those Subaru Outbacks, the station wagons, with the kind of the spacey, bubbly type back windows. You know what I'm talking about.
Right. Yep.
But it was like, for it still had one of those side panels on it as well. I don't think it was wood panel, but same idea. Anyways, he's got his car packed to the brim. He's moving down to Florida. I'm driving down with him. So we decided, hey, we're gonna see the sights. I hadn't been to Washington and D.C. at that point, and so we get there. It's like 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon. I mean, we're talking busy, busy weekday afternoon, and we show up, and there's absolutely no parking. We're like, okay, where the hell are we gonna park here? There's nothing. There was one spot right adjacent to the Washington Monument, and it was barely big enough to fit the car, and I couldn't see out the back window. But I'm telling you, if I had a camera phone at the time, it was the most perfect parallel park job that has ever happened in the history of humanity, and I will go to my grave believing that, because if you were to go out and take a tape measure, I guarantee you that the distance between not only the front and the back of my car to the two other cars and the sidewalk was perfect. And again, it was such an amazing feat on my end. And like I said, for it being the first time I ever attempted to parallel park, I would say it was pretty good. That gave me the
Not
confidence
bad.
to do that. Yeah, hey, I
Yeah.
don't want to
Yeah.
ever have to do that again. Moral of the story, we were able to go enjoy the sights and see some monuments and all that stuff. But yeah, perfect parallel parking performance. Thank you, Kyle. Alliterations are awesome. Anyways, I don't even know what the point of that story was, other than to brag about my parallel parking skills. I kind of sound like George Costanza here a little bit, if we're being honest. But no, look, I mean, it's a good thing that the name's being changed. We'll find out eventually what it's going to be. Again, I'll give Dan Snyder credit to folding to the sponsors and worrying about losing money. That's about it that I'll give him. But needless to say, the franchise is moving on, and hopefully for the better. We'll see how that has an effect on other franchises across other sports. We've seen the Cleveland Indians, obviously, consider certain changes. We'll see what happens moving forward. Obviously, this has been a long process trying to get Washington, which I think of all the team names and questions, I obviously, that could be considered offensive or even borderline that. I think, Washington, the Redskins, were by far the worst. And again, if I'm wrong, I mean, it's basically, I'm naive. I'm sorry if I am. I don't, I'm not trying to, minimize any other sort of team name that might be offensive to anyone else. But I do think that this one was probably the most directly offensive. You know what I mean? It had a different level because everyone's like, oh, well, where do you draw the line? Well, if like, just use your head, common sense. Let's take context into account. You know what I mean? Like everyone, it's always so black and white with everyone. No pun intended. No, insinuation intended. It's more or less like, oh, well, if you change, the Redskins name, well, the Patriots have to go. Well, no, because again, comprehension. It's like reading comprehension. Just because you read a sentence doesn't mean what you interpret initially is what it means. You have to understand the context. You have to understand where the writer or the author's coming from or whatever. And a lot of people are just unwilling to do that. I mean, that's what we see on Twitter all the time. These are the type of arguments we have. It's either this or that. There's no gray area when often, guess what? There is a lot of gray area. So for those folks out there saying, oh, well, we're just going to change every name now. Well, no, just relax, realize that this was a necessary thing that needed to happen, and it's for the better. So we'll cross bridges, when we get there, when it comes to other names or other franchise or other discussions. But for now, let's celebrate the right choice, whether it was motivated by money or not. It's still the right choice. You just don't have to give him credit for it. So we're gonna go to a quick break. Yeah, and by that I mean 5 minutes because that's the scheduled breakdown that we have. And when we come back, we're gonna talk about the gift given to the New England Patriots. That's right, folks. They woke up broke, or they went to bed broke and woke up, well, relatively rich considering where they've been all offseason. So hang in there. We will be right back. Mike, I gotta admit, the only reason I take commercial breaks is just so I can hear the song coming out of it. I know I
Oh, of
say it every
course.
time, but I can't help myself. I
It's the
gotta.
only reason to do it. It really is. Just, I mean, to hear that song, it takes you back to the early days of
Yes.
WrestleMania,
Mike's
and
teenage years.
yes, absolutely, teenager. Oh, not quite, not quite. That song was around. That song started. I remember the first, WrestleMania 6. I remember the. I remember hearing, Vince's voiceover and, about the ultimate challenge between Hulk Hogan and the Ultimate Warrior. And can't quite remember if 5 was. I still was a little young for 5, but 6 was the first real like WrestleMania that I really remember watching and remembering the matches. And it is extremely, extremely sad to look at that card now and think that the vast majority of the people that featured in that card are no longer with us. Just conversation for another day, but it does bring back good memories of a lot of WrestleManias after that. I was always a firm believer that they should have kept that theme, maybe, updated it slightly, but just kept the theme of that because it's great.
We'll get an online petition going. That's what
we'll
do.
We should.
We'll start a
We should
campaign.
Send it right to
We'll get
Vince.
it. That's right.
Although if you believe the recent reports out there, probably send it to Paul Levesque. I think he's ready to, AKA Triple H.
That's right.
Looks like he's ready to assume the throne
AKA
in
the
Stanford.
star of the Chaperone, by the way.
Yes, the star of the Chaperone, which
That's
we
right.
did spend time on talking about
Yes.
right on these
Believe it
airwaves.
or not, we have talked about the Chaperone, a WWE production.
You tell me one other morning show that does that. You're
I
only
can't
going to
tell you.
find that content here, right here, folks, on FEC
WWE
Radio
doesn't even
Live.
talk about it.
That's right. No, they
I
don't want
mean,
to talk about it.
But
deep
hey,
down
look,
in places, you don't talk about it. Parties.
Like I said, I encourage anyone out there that's even the slightest bit of a wrestling fan to watch it with an open mind and just say, hey, you know what? It's just a fun movie. It's funny. There's some really corny jokes and really adult situations, surprisingly, adult jokes rather, that again would think just wow, that doesn't really belong in what seems like a family type movie, but hey, whatever. Anyways, we don't want to spend too much time on Triple H. What I do want to spend time though is on telling you what our phone number is, which sounds very similar to Triple H when I read it just like this. 626-310-8888. too. That's right. Give us a call, give us a text, talk to us, please. We're desperate. We don't want to have to do this all by ourselves. We want to talk to you, please. We're begging you, please, please. Okay, I got to get off my my desperate kick here because, you know, that's just kind of sad. But you know, anyways, we talked about
Yeah. The begging that you just did was, I got to tell you, it was reminiscent of the Christopher Walken Psychic Friends Network skit from Saturday Night Live
Yeah.
way back in the mid 90s.
Oh,
Jay Moore
man.
doing it. So, if you need a friend, it's 3 a.m. need someone to talk to, give us a call.
Oh.
5 minutes later. It's been 5 minutes. Why aren't you calling?
I wish I've dusted up my walking impression because I just don't feel comfortable doing it right now. I don't want to ruin it. I don't want to butcher it. So I'm glad you took the mantle for me on that one. But yeah, it
See,
was.
walking is a very complicated. That's one of the ones that I'm not as good at, and I'll admit that right off the bat. Walking, there's a nuance to walking. A lot of people just hesitate when they talk, and that's not how he
it's
talks.
Certain
It really
words.
Isn't.
It's not
It's,
like the
yeah,
same
exactly.
pattern. It's
Exactly. You have to get first of all, you have to get disconnected thoughts in there, because anybody listens to walking, his thoughts are completely off the charts. You know, they don't make any sense. Like he'll just
yeah.
you know, all
kind
of a
like
sudden,
us.
Just like a, exactly. Actually, he'd fit right in as a third chair right over here. I mean, we should get on the phone. Get
Yeah,
Walken.
yeah, yeah. I'll call him right now. I got him speed dial.
Ian, I heard we're talking about the NBA this morning, and that's this one thing that I knew we needed to talk about, and that's Larry Bird.
Yeah.
You know?
Did you know I was the mayor in Batman Returns?
I played Max Schreck, for God's
yeah.
sake. I threw Michelle Pfeiffer out of window.
All right.
You know, I got better fish to fry than being here with you two.
I for the sake of our listeners, and there are actually still a few hanging around, we do want to focus
not for long
yeah not for long. I mean, we've seen a drastic downturn in viewers. It fluctuates, and maybe it's just coincidence that it fluctuated down during that little conversation, but the Patriots, we alluded to talking about this before we went into break, but the Patriots obviously were given the gift of $6.55 million in cap space when they were just a tick over 500,000 for the, you know, better part of the last couple months, or at least in that range. They've been mm-hmm. you know, at the bottom of the NFL team list of available cap space for pretty much the entire offseason, and that's something they've dealt with. One of the reasons why Tom Brady is not here is they couldn't have come close to giving him the money that he got with Tampa Bay. So this, folks, wouldn't have helped it. So don't think it would have. I mean, it's I mean, that's let's put it in perspective. People are excited for this cap space solely because they've had so little for the entire offseason. Because let's be honest, I mean, they're still at the bottom of the NFL when it comes to available cap space. It's just they
right.
actually have a little bit of breathing room. And I think the most important thing is, you know, despite all the guessing as to who they could sign, I mean, at this point, people are acting like they have $50 million in cap space right now. They don't. I mean, they really don't. If they're going to sign anyone of any significance, they're going to have to get creative, a la Cam Newton. Maybe not that low in incentive or that high in incentives, but they're going to have to get a little creative. Best part for them is this idea that now keeping Joe Tooney under his 14.78 franchise tag number is far more reasonable now, and there's far less pressure to get that deal done long term or to even trade him. So I think that's good. So I think it was $4 million for Antonio Brown and $2.55 million for Mr. Aaron Hernandez. We all know who he is. We won't have to go into that, but yeah, hey, good for the Patriots. This is something that I know you and someone that we both know, and most Patriots fans should know, Miguel Benzin, aka Pat's Cap on Twitter, talked about months ago. So kudos to you.
Yeah, well, kudos really to Miguel, because he was the one that really brought this to my attention and the grievances. I had known about them. I knew that they were out there. Much like most of Patriots media, I didn't believe that they really had much of a shot at recouping, maybe little to nothing with this. I didn't believe they'd recoup anything when it came to the Antonio Brown situation. And I believe that their windfall, if there was going to be one from the Aaron Hernandez grievance, was going to be very minor in nature. The $2.55 million for the Hernandez grievance was probably about what I expected, if anything, maybe even a little bit less. So I was glad that they kind of came out on the maximum end of what I expected. The Antonio Brown, I was surprised that they were able to come away and walk away with $4 million from that. I did not expect the full nine. But Miguel nailed this back in January, very shortly after the Patriots season ended. I spoke with Miguel on Locked On Patriots, and we went back and forth about ways that the Patriots would look to clear cap space. At the time, we're thinking they're going to clear cap space to re-sign Tom Brady. And most people thought there was a foregone conclusion that the two sides would end up coming together, and they would end up coming together in a deal, and that Brady would finish his career in New England. I was a big advocate of that. I can tell you, my good buddy on the other end of the microphone was. Miguel was as well. We all believed he was coming back. A lot of my colleagues in Patriots media believe the same. But as lips are starting to loosen a little bit around New England, starting to really understand that maybe the market, or I should say maybe the not really the market, that's a wrong choice of words, but maybe the landscape of the Brady and Patriots relationship had been a little bit misread, and maybe a little bit more, I don't want to say acrimonious, because I don't buy into the hype that there was significant heat or significant animosity between the two sides. But I think Brady understood what the Patriots were all about. I think he knew at that point that they have a system in place, and they're not going to deviate from it for anybody. He knew what he wanted to do. He did not want to have to essentially sing for his supper for the next 2 years. He set a target date of, or a target age of 45 to play. I still think he feels that if he's playing at a high level at 45, yeah, I still don't think he retires. I still think he keeps going. And, you know, and that's the whole thing in a nutshell. It's how his makeup is mentally and where he sees himself playing the game. I think the Patriots were a little bit squeamish about taking that step, even for a legend like Tom Brady. So I like how you put in there, and I completely agree with you that even with this additional cap space freed up, like people say, oh, well, if this freed up, you know, before Brady left, then he never would have left. I don't necessarily think that's the case, folks. I don't think, first of all, I don't think it would have been enough, like Ian said. And second of all, I think the landscape had deteriorated to the point where both sides had essentially come to the agreement or come to the realization, maybe not in verbally, you know, maybe not verbalized it or maybe not put it down on paper, but I think there was an unspoken thought process that maybe that relationship had run its course. So kudos to the Patriots for getting this, you know, cap space opened up. We've heard a lot of rumors about how they're going to use it. I do think it does take pressure off the Tooney. Tooney is on the books now for $14.78 million under the salary cap. With regard to the franchise tag, that's a high hit for a left guard, folks. But keep in mind, this is a second-team All-Pro, and the Patriots
never
need offensive line help. These guys never misses a snap. He is reliable as anything. He's versatile. He can play on the right and left sides. He can actually slot in and play the backup center position if he needed to. That's significant, considering you have a guy like David Andrews, who was on the shelf for all of last year with blood clots. I keep hammering this point home. Everything we hear about David is positive. His health is positive. He's in good shape. He's, you know, doing what he needs to do. He's healthy. He's ready to come back. I sincerely hope that continues to be the case. But we're also dealing with a COVID-19 pandemic out there that affects the respiratory system. It affects the lungs. And you can't ignore that, folks. If he's somewhat of a risk of being exposed to something like this, and it can exacerbate a condition, you may see him have to sit out every other game. I don't know. I'm speculating. But if that's the case, you need as much frontline help as you possibly can. Joe Tooney is one of the best in the game. So I think the Patriots understand that even if they can't lock him up long term, and they're looking at maybe 1 year before he tests the free agent market, to me, it's worth it, especially with a new quarterback, whether it be Cam. We all assume it'll be Cam Newton, but whether it be Cam or Jarrett Stidham, he's going to need significant blocking and significant help on the offensive line. Joe Tooney provides it, and now they can do it.
Well, and look, I mean, I know we kind of were scoffing at the idea of like, well, now they have, you know, a big whopping 7.89 million, whatever it is, available to spend, so they can go out and, you know, have a night on the town and all that stuff. Okay, you know, that's not realistic again. That's not really relative to how, you know, what a lot of cap space is. That's not it. It is a lot of cap space relative to what the Patriots had. So, of course, there's a little bit, you know, added excitement. And again, I think the biggest coup for all this is the fact that you're able to hold on to Joe Tooney. Again, you can bite that bullet and pay him that much money for especially next season. Does it open up the door for them to make other moves? Absolutely, but again, it doesn't mean that they can go out and shell out money, because I've seen, obviously, Jadeveon Clowney's name has thrown out there. You look at the player himself, his what he does on the field and how he could gel with what Bill Belichick and this team likes to do on defense. It's certainly appealing, and there's a lot of great football cases to be made for them to go out and sign him. Now, again, the big question is, what is he willing to take? Is he willing to go out and, bet on himself? And if that's the case, okay, then maybe we can talk, because, again, I said you didn't have to get as low as Cam Newton's deal. And in his case, the fact that he missed a significant portion of last year allowed the Patriots to use a lot of that money that he could earn and push it to next year's cap. I don't know what the specifics would be for Clowney, but I highly doubt that they're going to be able to do that same thing. So there's going to be a lot more money up front. However, if you can come to some reasonable agreement with Clowney, if he's motivated to come to New England, then, maybe that's the case. And maybe they do pull off something like that. And all of a sudden you're like, okay, well, all right. Well, this team is pretty good, but yeah, just don't get your
hopes up. Absolutely. It's difficult, folks. It's not impossible, but it is difficult. And there are a number of roadblocks that would prevent that. Look, first of all, Jadeveon would have to take less money to come to New England. I don't think there's anybody that questions that. This is a guy that, turned down significant money from Seattle and wanted to bet on himself and go out there and say that I can go ahead and set my market. That hasn't happened, but that doesn't necessarily mean that it won't happen. Look, bottom line, when it comes to the Patriots cap situation, yes, they have 7.7, almost 7.8 million dollars now freed up in cap space. That's all well and great. That's excellent. I mean, that does. People look at that now and say, oh, well, they can sign this one. They can sign that one. The one thing that Miguel has taught me, well, not the one thing, but the most important thing that Miguel has taught me about the salary cap is that that number is always fluid. There are always things that are built into the salary cap that are not evident in that final number. There are roster bonuses. There are incentive monies that are included in that. There's operating costs to go throughout the entire calendar year. The Patriots have to leave a cushion. That $500,000 in cap space that they had prior to this freeing up did not allow them to operate at full speed for the remainder of the season. They would have had no choice but to extend a guy like Dante Hightower, to extend someone like Stephon Gilmore, which he agreed to an extension last year. I mean, Gilmore's coming off of a year in which he was named the Defensive Player of the Year, both by the AP and by the Pro Football Writers of America.
Yeah.
This is not a situation where Gilmore is going to sit there and say, oh yeah, I'm going to keep giving you breaks. I mean, Stephon is he's a model teammate. He's one of the best guys on that team in the locker room, in the community, on the field, one of the most valuable Patriots out there right now. But to assume that he's just going to be Tom Brady and take pay cut after pay cut after pay cut for the good of the team is not something you can count on. So now all of a sudden the Patriots have that operating room. It still gives them the flexibility to make a move or two, but those of us that are expecting this blockbuster deal or bringing in a superstar or trading for this one, or, already we heard about, Derrick Henry not signing. We talked earlier in this about, Derrick Henry not signing a long-term deal. Oh, well, they got the cap space now. They should go and try to make a trade for Henry. It's like, whoa, calm down. Really, take it easy. I understand that everybody gets, he'd go crazy. He'd want an eggplant calzone after reading these. There's no question about it. But at the same time, I understand that, fans and fan sites and fan accounts, they want to get their name out there. So they figure, oh, we'll throw a picture of Derrick Henry up there. That'll get about 1,000 likes on social media. That'll get people talking. It's one thing to do that, but it's another thing to logistically determine whether or not it can happen. And folks, pump the brakes on this a little bit. The Patriots have comfort now under the cap. They don't have significant room to pull off all of these blockbuster deals that people want to see them pull off. Getting Cam Newton in at the deal that they did, to me, has a chance to be the steal of the year. And I think it's going to pay dividends. But if you're expecting that type of windfall once again, show temperance. I'm not saying it's impossible, but I'm saying it's a lot more difficult than some people are making it look.
I'll throw another name out there, another already on the Patriots name, J.C. Jackson. I mean, that's a guy that now all of a sudden you can look, okay, maybe it's time to extend him. You know, maybe there is an opportunity there now with a little bit more of it. Because again, I think people who follow the Patriots closely, you know, there are people, folks out there, professionals that follow the Patriots, but I would hardly say it's closely or even, you know, loosely. I mean, I just don't think they follow the team at all, but they, you know, they cover them nonetheless. But anyways, those who actually watch the games and actually pay close attention to this defense and these players know that JC Jackson is probably the most underrated, you know, not home known name out there in the NFL, or one of them at the very least, because I mean, this is a kid we've seen evolve and grow very quickly in his short time so far, and he's a guy
tremendous
that,
upside on this kid, folks.
So that's a name that all of a sudden now you're like, okay, with this type of cap space, like you said, there's opportunity now to work out some extensions where, yes, the hit now, kind of like the whole Mahomes deal. It's like, yeah, you're not going to significantly increase your cap space this year. It might increase a little bit, but, you know, these are moves that you can make for the long-term future, because this is, you know, the Patriots are a team that aren't in long-term cap hell. Like, we've seen teams that obviously go broke and have to take 3 or 4 seasons to really finagle their way out of it. This is a one-year, one-off bad cap situation, primarily because of that $13.5 million you have hanging over you for Tom Brady, who's not on this roster. But, you know, after this year going into next, they have a significant amount of cap space. You know, they have free agents, obviously, but they have a lot of ability to make those moves. So this is a situation where you don't want to hurt yourself long term just to, you know, again, this is not how the Patriots operate. You know, you're not going to hurt yourself long term to satisfy a itch now, you know, because everyone wants everyone. You know, we see it on Twitter all the time, on Patriots Twitter. A name is out there, and it's all of a sudden it's the Bill Belichick video of him walking in Ford Field or Lions, whatever the hell the place is up there in Detroit. I don't even know, but you know what
Ford
I'm talking
Field.
About.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, Ford Field. So okay,
the WWE like entrance, and
exactly.
You know, bless the person. I don't know who it was, but bless the person that put the Stone Cold Steve Austin music in the background of it. That's still one of my favorite clips ever in Patriots media to this day. I just absolutely love it. But no, I mean, bottom line, folks, he's absolutely right. I mean, you know, you can, and it's not unique to Patriots Nation. I think we can all agree on that. There are fans out there of all 32 NFL teams that the main player becomes available.
But I do think that Patriots fans in general are, I don't want to say the worst at it. I'm just saying, like, this happens most often because, I mean, and rightfully so. I mean, for 20 years, I mean, any free agent ever who wants to go win a championship, well, the first team that pops up, it's New England. Because, guess what?
Oh,
they win championships. Yeah. So I don't blame them. But at the same time, you have to, not every name player is worth it, for one. Not every name player is going to come to the Patriots. Yes, it works out sometimes, but, you know, for the most part, it doesn't have to be about everyone. Anyways, that's my TED talk.
No, without question. No, absolutely, without question. I think you're absolutely right. I mean, in a lot of ways, and this pains me to say this, but in a lot of ways, the Patriots fans have become the Yankees fans of the NFL.
Yeah.
A player becomes available automatically. You look at him and that flying Elvis logo. I mean, it was like, you know, during the late 90s and early 2000s and the mid 2000s, that's exactly what happened. A free agent was out there and you saw him, you envisioned him in pinstripes, whether it was Randy Johnson, whether it was Roger Clemens, you know, whoever was out there, Ken Griffey Jr., Barry Bonds. I mean, everybody that was available was linked to the Yankees.
Oh my God, Roger Clemens is a Mr. Steinbrenner.
Yeah.
Oh my God, yes. I love. Oh my goodness gracious.
Everybody that is in New England, I think New Englanders know that clip better than New Yorkers do, folks. I mean, that was, that was probably one of the.
I couldn't even hold it back when you started bringing it up.
All respect to Susan Waldman, who is a very good broadcaster, by the way, folks. She knows her stuff. She's very good at what she does. But yeah, that was not one of her finer moments, just kind of losing it and making it, whatever. It's a conversation for another day.
Well, as a Red Sox, obviously, I remember that very vividly because it was basically, because as much as it was the Yankees obviously going out and signing everyone, the Red Sox were always their closest competitor. When it came to it. So it's like, I remember the Roger, it was down to the Red Sox or the Yankees. Who was he going to go with? And like, look, I was excited. I mean, we joke about it now. And again, people, Roger Clemens, some people associate him more now with some of the, bad things that he did. But You know, for me, it was like, man, this guy's coming off a what was a stellar season, I think, in Houston, right? And him and Andy Pettitte were out there, and it was just like, all right, well, hey, you're gonna get Roger Clemens coming back for the stretch run, and obviously it didn't work out. We all remember the A-Rod situation where it was, well, no, A-Rod's getting traded to the Red Sox, but Bud Selig put the kibosh on that, and that did not
Yeah,
happen.
you had Kevin Millar out there on ESPN national television saying, "We're going to get A-Rod, Schilling, and Folk, and that's it, and that's all we need. I'll take those guys." And they're like, "No, not so
Well,
fast."
at the expense of Manny Ramirez, though. And that's the well,
Oh,
no.
yeah. Absolutely.
Was it Manny go? Because I feel like Manny was also going into that deal. Because obviously Nomar being the big piece, the big movement piece there. I feel
If I
like.
remember, if I remember it correctly, I believe Manny was headed. This was going to be a three-team deal where A-Rod was going to be headed to Boston. I believe Manny was going to be headed to Chicago, and I think Magliaro-Donez was headed back toward Texas. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong. I'm probably wrong on that, but I believe that was the case. But that was essentially the deal. Yeah, they were going to have to surrender Manny Ramirez in that deal.
But hey, it worked out for the better because again, it added, I mean, just the I would have never imagined at the time thinking, oh, this is the greatest thing ever for this deal to fall through. No, I just, I kind of figured, hey, this sucks, the curse is
And
going to
not to
continue and
mention, yeah, not to mention that that was the off season after the Aaron Boone fiasco. That was after the Aaron Boone home run. So
Well, exactly.
not only were Red Sox fans still stinging from that, but then they have to look at the fact that A-Rod is now going to be a New York Yankee. But you know what? 2004 ended up
It
pretty well.
worked. It worked out. It worked out pretty good. And that's the thing too. It's like you think about some of the obviously the fact that A-Rod kind of for the most part, obviously their 2009 World Series run notwithstanding, kind of underperformed for the Yankees in the playoffs. There was obviously the whole ball slapping. I should probably choose my words a little bit better, but that whole incident where he knocked the ball out of the hand, there was the fight with Varitek during that season, and there was so much obviously to it that it worked out for the better. Obviously, Manny Ramirez being there, they traded Nomar, which brought in guys like Doug Mankiewicz and a guy that probably stole the most important base in certainly Red Sox history. But
Yeah, Dave Roberts.
a lot of positives from what originally was a negative. So, but hey, good memories for sure. 2004 is a good time. It's a good time to be alive. Let's just put it that way.
Definitely was.
Unless you're a Yankees fan, then you weren't happy. But all right, well, we've just flown through this show. We're going to wrap it up here. We're going to say goodbye. We're going to be back tomorrow. Like I said, hopefully we're going to have some more guests on this week. We're going to talk more about the Washington name change. We're going to talk about more of the headlines throughout the leagues. The NHL training camps are starting to open again, so that's going to be a lot of fun. And sooner or later, we're going to actually be talking about actual sporting events happening before our very eyes. So, Mike, it's a pleasure as always. Thank you so much for joining us and joining me on this great program, or at least we think it's a great program.
Oh, absolutely. I think I don't think we're alone in that. We have maybe two or three other people that agree,
Yeah.
but no, all kidding
All
aside,
family
folks, thank you
members.
so much for tuning in each and every day here on FBC Radio Live. We love doing this show, and we'll keep doing it as long as you keep coming back. So thank you. Stay safe, stay well. Have a great day, everybody.
Absolutely. And don't forget, folks, follow us on Twitter at Full Press Radio, at FPC Radio Live. I am at IGLEN31. He is at MDABATEFPC. Give him a follow, give us a follow, interact. We will be back tomorrow. Have a great day.